You ever heard of living the fulfilled life? We probably have all heard it because just about everyone wants it. Everyone wants to have a life that is filled with meaning and purpose and find goals that have been accomplished. But what really makes someone's life fulfilled? You know, it all depends on your individual goals and desires in life, doesn't it? It all depends on that person. If you were to ask a person what they think would give them a fulfilled life, the answer would be different for everyone that you asked. Who do you think lives a fulfilled life? Sometimes we think of those who have great fortunes or leave great legacies as people who surely must have experienced a fulfilled life. But as J. Oswald Sanders once pointed out, the round of pleasure or the amassing of wealth are often but vain attempts to escape from the persistent ache of the heart. The millionaire is usually a lonely man, and the comedian is often more unhappy than his audience. In his book, Facing Loneliness, Sanders goes on to emphasize that being successful often fails to produce satisfaction. Then he refers to a gentleman by the name of Henry Martin, a distinguished scholar who is an example of what he was talking about. Martin, who years ago was a Cambridge University student, was honored at age 20 for his achievements in mathematics. At age 20, he had some achievements in mathematics. In fact, he was given the highest recognition possible in that field. And yet, for Henry Martin, he felt an emptiness inside. He said that instead of finding fulfillment in his achievements, he had, quote, only grasped at a shadow, something that appears for a moment and vanishes away. After evaluating his life's goals, Henry Martin sailed to India as a missionary at the age of 24. When he arrived in India, he prayed this prayer, Lord, let me burn out for you. In the next 7 years that preceded his death, Henry Martin translated the New Testament into three difficult Eastern languages, and he died at age 31. Now, a lot of people in this world might think, well, he died young, and he died with a life unfulfilled. If we were to go to heaven and we were to ask Henry Martin how he thought of his life, he would say, I had finished my course. I had kept the faith. I had a fulfilled life because it was something that honored and pleased my Savior most of all. Perhaps you are living your life like Henry Martin before he became a missionary. Maybe you haven't achieved that much recognition for your accomplishments, or maybe you haven't even made the accomplishments hoped that you were by this time in your life. But perhaps, like Henry Martin, you still have that emptiness inside. Are you looking for fulfillment? Real fulfillment in your life? As we continue looking in the book of Hebrews, we're going to learn that the Old Testament nation of Israel was looking for fulfillment as well, and yet they failed. Let's read together verses 11 through 19 from which we will take our text. Hebrews 7, beginning verse 11. If, therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest, this is referring to Jesus, that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And yet it is far more evident, for that after the similitude or the likeness of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment or a fleshly, worldly commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, and he quotes Psalm 110, verse 4, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling or a setting aside of the commandment going before, for the weakness and the unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. If you're looking for real fulfillment in life, there's a few things that you need to understand before you can experience the fulfilled life that it seems like everyone in the world is looking for. We're going to look at four things. The first thing that you need to understand is the right meaning of fulfillment. The right meaning of fulfillment. If you are going to take a survey to find out what people would need in order for them to be fulfilled, you would probably get as many answers as there are people, wouldn't you? If you were to take a survey there on the streets of Greenfield and ask, what do you want in life? What would make you feel like you've completed and accomplished something in life? Every person would have something different. Some people want to go off and visit the world and be a world traveler. Others want to stay very close to home. There are as many different answers as there are people in this world, what they think will give them fulfillment and completion in their life. Sad to say, however, the vast majority of the answers that you would uncover would be wrong. Because in order to experience a truly fulfilled life, you and I need to know what real fulfillment is. The reason why people, by the time they are elderly, and they look back on their lives and they realize, I didn't accomplish the things that I wanted to, or I desired to, or even had hoped to when I was young, and they start to feel that emptiness inside, they start to wonder, was my life really all that fulfilling? Did I really accomplish those things that I set out to accomplish? It's because they never really understood what real fulfillment is in life. This morning, we need to understand what the fulfilled life is by focusing on what that fulfillment is. So what is the meaning of fulfillment in life? I believe we find the answer to that question here in this passage. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, the very first verse of our text, the word used for fulfillment is here perfection. If therefore perfection, and you could substitute that word fulfillment in place of that, if therefore perfection or fulfillment or completion were by the Levitical priesthood, and then it goes on and says, why else would God have sent Jesus Christ as a priest of another order? If their perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should be rising after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? This verse continues the discussion about the weakness of the Old Testament priesthood that we've looked at the last couple of weeks. And it points out that if people found real fulfillment or perfection through this Old Testament priesthood, why would the coming Messiah have to be of a different order or a different kind of priest, which was stated by David in Psalm 110, verse 4? Picture a timeline with me. When Moses was given the law, it was given all these different ceremonies and all these different things that the priests would have to use to bring men to God. And it was a very bloody circumstance. It was a lot of blood, a lot of work, a lot of effort in order to achieve the presence of God. And only the priests could do this. Only the priests could offer these sacrifices and go into the temple. And only one priest at one time of the year could actually go into the presence of the Holy of Holies, where God's presence was. And the only people that could do that were the ones that God assigned that job and that duty to. The Levites, the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. Now, fast forward 1,000 years from the time of Moses. We have David, the king of Israel. And God gives a prophecy to his people, the people of Israel, the ones that he gave 1,000 years earlier, this wonderful ceremony, this wonderful picture of what was to come. And then God speaks through David 1,000 years later in Psalm 110, verse 4, and says this, the Lord hath sworn and will not repent, and it's referring to the Messiah, thou art a priest. They knew about priests. They've had priests for 1,000 years doing the service in the temple, in the tabernacle. But he says, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And that's got to be a surprise and a shocking statement to the children of Israel. What? There's going to be another priest? But it's not going to be from tribe of Levi. It's not going to be from the line of Aaron and his family. It's going to be from a different order. And the picture is this. That 1,000 years after God established that order, He's saying there is a new order, a better order, that must replace the old order in order for you and me to truly find fulfillment in our lives, in order to achieve perfection. Because perfection here in verse 11 was never to be found by the Levitical priesthood. The point of this verse and this entire section is that the Old Testament system could not and cannot bring fulfillment to people. But what was the perfection, the fulfillment that this verse is talking about? Do you remember what the purpose of a priest is? We looked at this a few weeks ago. A priest is someone who brings men near to God. That is their purpose. That was why God ordained priests, to show Himself to the world that He is a holy God and that He has set parameters and restrictions on how people can get to Him. And so He appointed priests. And a priest is someone who brings men near to God. And that is what perfection is in this verse. Perfection for the Levitical priesthood was bringing people near to God. That was the point of their job. That was the whole purpose of their life, was to bring men near to God. And it says here in verse 11 that that perfection was not available through the priesthood. They were not able to fulfill their goal and responsibility ultimately. But look at verse 19 in this passage. It reiterates the fact that the law made nothing perfect or fulfilled or complete. But then it says this, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God. What is perfection according to this passage? What is fulfillment, real fulfillment in our lives according to this passage? Fulfillment and perfection and completion, the ultimate of our life, is found in verse 19 by drawing near to God. That is a great definition of what real fulfillment is. I believe the people of Israel had a right conception of what fulfillment in life was. They wanted to approach God, but yet they failed to recognize that this Old Testament system was pointing to another priest. Another one that would bring them so close to God that they would never, ever have to leave His presence for eternity. The reason why people do not find fulfillment in life is because they do not understand what real fulfillment is. Real fulfillment is not getting a lot of money. It is not having the perfect job. It is not having the perfect family. It is not being able to go overseas and see the world. Real fulfillment in life will never, ever be found unless you first understand what real fulfillment is, and that is drawing nigh to God. Drawing nigh to God. Fulfillment will only come to you in your life and after this life when you draw nigh to God. You can make all the money in the world. You can gain the greatest power in the world. You can become the most famous person in the world and never find fulfillment in this life or in the next because you don't understand what real fulfillment is. Perhaps today you're thinking, boy, the fulfilled life seems like it's pretty elusive to me. It seems like I'm grasping at shadows. I've never really been able to accomplish those things that my heart wanted to accomplish years ago. Perhaps your heart is focused on the wrong thing. Real fulfillment will only be found when you understand what fulfillment is. Fulfillment for a person, and especially a child of God, is drawing near to God. A fulfilled life for you and for me today is the closer we are to the Lord, the more fulfilled our life is going to be. It doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter the clothes you wear, the cars you drive, the power that you have. It is all about having a relationship with God. That is real fulfillment. This Henry Martin lived 31 years of age. He died 3 years ago in my life. I mean, I'm thinking 31. What did I accomplish at 31? Again, our minds are focused on what did we accomplish physically and in this world. Henry Martin accomplished so much more in his lifetime because he understood what real fulfillment was. And it was by drawing near to the Lord. That was it. That was it. That was the purpose. And when you understand what real fulfillment is, you'll understand what life is about. Your jobs, your homes, your cars, your possessions, this world. It is all to be used for the purpose of true fulfillment. Those are just means to an end. And if you have the end in mind, the end, which is drawing near to God, and you utilize and are good stewards of what God has provided you to achieve that end, oh, the great fulfillment that you will find. It doesn't matter if you die when you're 16 or 60, because you will have found fulfillment, not just in this life, but forever, because you drew near to God. And the only way that you can do that is by focusing on Christ. You need to also understand the need of fulfillment. The need of fulfillment, not just the meaning of it, but the need. You know, some of you hear this and think, well, here we go again. Only those who don't have these things say that they do not provide fulfillment. I've heard this from young people, having worked with them and served with them for some, probably 10 or 12 years. They think, you know, I'm just going to try it and see for myself. You know, you say it because, you know, you don't have the money, you don't have the cars, you don't have all these wonderful things. So, of course you're going to say they don't bring fulfillment. Of course you're going to say that they don't complete you. They don't bring perfection in your life. Well, I don't believe you. I'm going to try it for myself. I'm afraid that if this is what you're thinking, you will never discover the fulfillment and satisfaction that comes when you draw nigh to God, because you don't think and believe that He truly satisfies. You're basically calling God a liar, because God in the Bible says very clearly, I am the one that satisfies. You want satisfaction in life? Come to me. You want to have a fulfilled life? Come to me. You want to find completeness in your life? Come to me. And yet when we turn everywhere else for completeness and fulfillment and satisfaction, you know what we're telling God? I don't believe you. I don't believe you, God. You're a liar. That is a great sin. But when we realize what real fulfillment is, the next step is to find out whether we really need it, whether we really have it. Look at verse 12 through 15 for a moment. It says, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. Some key words there. Change. Verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken, referring to Christ, pertains to another tribe, of whom no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the likeness or similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest. If you think that you have no need of true fulfillment in life, you're very much like those in the Old Testament who relied, as we saw here, upon a system for fulfillment. Verse 11 that we just saw points out that a change was needed. Verse 12 here adds to this by saying that a change was a necessity. But what needed to be changed according to this passage? You see, many in the Old Testament relied upon a system in order to be fulfilled. It was the system that they believed would bring them into the presence of God instead of a person. They relied on who they were. They said, I'm a Jew. I have the blessings of God on my life. And not only the Jews, but the priests especially. They had the priesthood given to them by God, and they were going to rely on who they were to be able to enter into the presence of God. They thought they had it made. After all, I am the child of Abraham. Remember last week, that was a big deal to them. It was their father Abraham. Abraham was considered a friend of God. God promised these wonderful blessings on Abraham, and they were going to be the recipients of those blessings, or so they thought. And so they thought their life was fulfilled because they were aligned upon a system that talked about who they were. They also relied upon what they did. It says here that they had the law. If you look at verse 12, the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity to change also the law. This law that they had that was given to them by God, they thought was perfect, and they thought that it would fulfill them. They had all the ceremonies that God gave them in order to enter into His presence. Surely they thought that they were okay. But in reality, who they were, what they did, was not enough to draw nigh to God. Who they were as Jews and as the priesthood, and what they did according to the law, the ceremonial law that we're looking at, all those things did not bring them to this completion, this fulfillment that they were looking for. It did not bring them near to God. And that is why Psalm 110 verse 4 was written. It was to show the need for a change. It's to show the need for another. And again, that's a very key word, especially in verse 15. It says, for it is far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest. This other priest would be a better priest. Talking about Jesus Christ Himself. See, many in the Old Testament relied upon a system in order to be fulfilled. And so many times we do the same thing. Now, we aren't sacrificing animals here today, but we think that who we are and what we do will grant us access into the presence of God. We think, you know, well, I live a pretty good, clean life. I go to church every so often, and I'm able to go, and I'm able to learn, and I'm able to do these things. I haven't hurt anybody, haven't said bad things about people. I'm living a pretty good, clean life, and you think that who you are and what you do is going to grant you access to heaven. That's exactly what the Old Testament people believed. They believed that because of who they were as Jews and what they did through the sacrificial system, they had it made, but in reality, they didn't. You and I need to rely not on a system in order to be fulfilled, but we need to rely upon a Savior. Verse 13 says, "For he of whom these things are spoken." Who is it talking about? It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Fulfillment, remember the definition of fulfillment is drawing nigh to God. That is real fulfillment and completion in life. But fulfillment will only come when you draw nigh to God through the way that he has made. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to realize this morning that who you are and what you have done or what you will do is not enough to find fulfillment. It is not enough to enter into God's presence. Rather, as Fanny Crosby once wrote, you need to come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and then you can give him the glory for the great things he hath done. You need to understand your need of fulfillment. Are you wanting fulfillment in your life? I don't care how young you are, how old you are, if you're looking for fulfillment in a system where you think you've got it made, whether it's a worldly system or even a churchly system, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do, you will never achieve fulfillment unless you understand that fulfillment comes by actually drawing nigh to God with your heart. You must further understand, third, the method of fulfillment. How can you experience this fulfillment? Look at verse 16 for a moment. Again, it's talking about this great high priest, Jesus Christ, and it says, who is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Let me read that again. He is made, not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. This verse provides the difference between living a fulfilled life and one that is unfulfilled. We need to remember always that the definition of fulfillment is to draw nigh to God. It is not to make a lot of money. It is not to have a nice house. It is not to have all these possessions and things. It is to draw nigh to God. And we will never find fulfillment unless we have an understanding of what fulfillment really is. And if I cannot convince you enough of this, fulfillment, real fulfillment, is drawing near to God. That is what will fulfill you. That is what will complete you. That is what will perfect you, if you will. Any attempt at the fulfilled life that you and I make is doomed to failure. We see that in verse 16. It says that he was not made after the law of a carnal commandment. Why? Because we attempt to have a fulfilled life the same way the Old Testament Jews attempted to approach God. They did it according to the law of a carnal commandment. They used the law that God gave them, which was there for a purpose, and I believe God's purpose for his law was fulfilled, but yet now there was a change. Because that carnal commandment, we look at that word carnal, we think, well, that must have been an evil thing. No, it just basically means a fleshly or a worldly commandment. It was something that was designed for the world, for people like us. It was carnal by flesh. This commandment, this whole ceremonial system that they had in order to approach God was human effort. They had to do a lot of work. The priest had to do a lot of effort and put forth a lot of energy to do this. It was with flesh. They used the flesh of animals in order to sacrifice and cause the blood to flow. And they did it for flesh, for sinful human beings. But true fulfillment is not possible through a system. And if you and I think it is, we are doomed to failure. True fulfillment, however, is possible through Jesus Christ, because he is another priest, as it says in verse 16, after the power of an endless life. This, I believe, is a key for us to understanding this entire passage. The reason why Jesus Christ has become our high priest and is the way that we can approach unto God and achieve fulfillment in life and eternity is because He has the power of an endless life. Each of these words describe our Lord and the fulfillment He offers to those who believe and follow Him. That word endless can also be translated indestructible. Indestructible. What a wonderful thing. God, Jesus Christ, possesses infinite power. Power. Do you desire power in your life? Power with men and power with God. Power in order to achieve the things in your life. Power over sin and temptation and despair. Power in order to be able to be a good witness in your workplace and at home and all these different places. Do you seek power? The only way you will have power in your life and have that power fulfilled is if you draw nigh to God through Jesus Christ, because He possesses infinite power and He provides infinite power to those who believe and follow after Him. Real fulfillment will only come when you draw nigh to God, recognizing that His power is infinite. But it also says that His life is infinite. Jesus Christ is able to do what He can do because He possesses infinite life. We want life, and we want it to the fullest. And God promises that through Jesus Christ, and He can promise it because He possesses infinite life. He provides it to those who believe in Him and trust in Him. This is the method of fulfillment. It is not after the law of a carnal commandment. It is not after some system that you've been told as you've been growing up. It is not through some energy or effort that you put forth. It is all about the power of an endless life. It is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, and what He has done. Fulfillment for you will only come when you draw nigh to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and experience the power of an endless life. So this morning, you and I need to learn how to experience that fulfillment. In verse 17 and 19 we read, "For He testifieth, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling or a setting aside of the commandment going before, because of the weakness and unprofitableness thereof." Verse 19, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God." How can you experience real fulfillment once you realize that it is missing in your life? It is not through who you are and what you have done or what you will do. It's not about you. This is illustrated, as we've just looked at, in the Old Testament priesthood and ceremonial law. If anyone could have been drawn near to God on their own, these men, these priests, probably should have been able to, but they couldn't. Why? Because look at these verses. In verse 18, there was a disannulling of that old system, a cancellation, a setting aside, because it could not perfect those people that they were trying to perfect. It couldn't also, because it goes on in verse 18, it was weak and unprofitable. It was weak and unprofitable. Yes, God had a plan and a purpose for it, and it was fulfilled. But that was God's purpose for that law. The people thought that law would bring them near to God, but it didn't. Their perspective was wrong. Another reason why they could not enter into the presence of God, because here it says the law made nothing perfect. But it is only through who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ has done that we can experience real fulfillment by drawing near to God. You see, He is our only source and hope, as it says here in verse 19. The bringing in of a better hope by the which we draw nigh to God. He is our hope for perfection. He is our only hope for real fulfillment. He is our only hope for drawing near to God. And if you keep your fingers in Hebrews chapter 7, I want you to turn over with me to Gospel of Luke real quick. Luke chapter 10. Because we're going to see a story of two ladies. You've heard the story before. But there's a woman by the name of Mary who understood this principle. She understood that true fulfillment in life did not come from who she was and what she would do for the Lord. Rather, it was drawing nigh to God through Jesus Christ and experiencing the power of an indestructible life that is fulfillment for her. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 is where I want to start. I just want to read and consider what took place in Mary's life and in Martha's life when Jesus came into their house. Now it came to pass, verse 38, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We see here two people. We see here two women. One woman was thinking about fulfilling her life through a system, through service, and doing things. She was doing good work. And yet Mary recognized that true fulfillment came by drawing near to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is where we will find fulfillment. After all, Jesus Christ is so great and so exceptional because, as we saw in verse 16, He is timeless, boundless, and infinite without any limitations whatsoever. That is what we need. That is what we need to have a fulfilled life, because we are creatures limited to time, with boundaries, with a finiteness. We are greatly limited, even though sometimes we don't think that we are. So this morning I want you to think, what is fulfillment for you? What will complete you? What will satisfy you? Is it your family? A lot of people think family will be their satisfaction. They think, oh, you know what, if I just get married and to this wonderful person, life will be grand. Then they realize that there's challenges with that. They think, you know, we just need to have some kids and be able to focus on some kids, and the kids come, and boy, they give you a run for your money, don't they? And then after the kids are grown over, you think, boy, I just need to have some grandkids, and sometimes those grandkids disappoint. You think family, if you're looking for fulfillment through your family, you're looking in the wrong place. So you might be thinking a career or even retirement for those of you retired. You think, well, this is my goal. You know, this is something that was always a challenge to me when I was working as an investment advisor and talking to people about their investments and their goals, is because the focus was upon what they wanted. What do you want in life? What do you want as the goal for your retirement? Think about where you're going to be, what beach you're going to be on, the West Coast or the East Coast. You're going to be in the Caribbean? Where do you want your vacation home? What are your goals? What do you want to use that money for? And it was so focused on themselves, and I just wanted in my own heart to say, you're not going to find fulfillment there. Because only fulfillment comes to those who draw near to God. That is where fulfillment lies. It's not in your career. It's not in your family. It's not in retirement. It's not in your goals. It's not in your education. Whatever you're thinking is going to fulfill your life, it won't, unless it's used as a tool to be able to draw closer to the Lord through Jesus Christ, and so you can experience the power of His endless life. Fulfillment will only come when you draw nigh to God. That is real fulfillment. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, and experience the power of His endless life. And you know what happens when you draw nigh to God? He'll draw nigh to you. I want to close with this. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The world says, don't humble yourself. Lift yourself up, and then you will experience fulfillment. But real fulfillment, the fulfilled life, comes only to those who humble themselves and seek in their hearts and pursue it like Mary did, to draw near to God through Jesus Christ. That is real fulfillment. Are you going to find it anywhere else? The world says yes. The Bible says no. Where are you going to find your fulfilled life? Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus, and that our fulfillment in life, in this life and in the next, can only come through Him. It can only come through Him. Any satisfaction, any purpose that we have, it must be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know I'm speaking to many here who have strayed from that focus. They've heard this all before, and yet they've strayed, and they've let the world allure them. And they're focused so intently upon things in this place, in this world, things that are bound by time and space. And yet they are not setting their affections on things above. but they're setting them on things on the earth. I pray, Lord, that you'll show them that that is not fulfillment. They can be the most powerful, wealthy, famous person in all the world, and yet real fulfillment will never, ever come until they draw near to the Lord. And Lord, I know that many here have drawn near to you. Father, we have a long way to go. We need to keep drawing near. We need to cling to Christ. We need to grow in our relationship and walk and understanding of the Lord, because that is where our fulfillment lies. If we believe in fulfillment in other areas of life, that's where we're going to spend our time. That's where we're going to spend our money. That's where we're going to spend our energy. But if we believe that fulfillment comes in a relationship with the Father by drawing near to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, that is where we will spend our time. That is where we will spend our effort. That is where we will spend our money. Father, I pray that you will help us to find the fulfilled life. Not the world's definition, but your definition. Drawing near to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.